head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And I would like to welcome you into the Rusty Satellite Show here at the cozy studios of Louisville.am in St. Matthews. This is your host, Rick Redding, here for the 228th consecutive week, bringing you the most interesting people in the Ville. I always wonder, it is just a real pleasure to be able to do this. This week, I met two people that I had like heard of but had never talked with, and it was a great experience both times. Coming up in the second part of the show, we're going to have Jack Mathis. He is the owner of Work the Metal down in Butchertown, in the Butchertown Market. It is an amazing and outstanding store for just all kinds of cool stuff to have in your home. Everything from books to knickknacks for your house to funny sayings on coffee cups, all that kind of stuff. He'll mention later in the show one of his favorite coffee cup sayings. They make those up over there. So when you go in and see something funny, you know somebody there sort of made that up. So that's pretty cool. And first up in the show, I have Dale Romans, who is met a special milestone this week. On Sunday, he became the all-time leading trainer at Churchill Downs, and that's quite an accomplishment, and especially for a guy who grew up in the South End near the track and never wanted to do anything else. Dale Romans is he's a wonderful guest too, very well spoken, and I really enjoyed meeting him. We sort of reminisced about high school. We both played high school football. He at Butler, me at Iroquois. We're a few years apart, but anyway. That's what's coming up in the show. But first, I want to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plan. What a great company and what a great thing they're doing in moving their headquarters to the West End. I am working on a special project related to that, and I want to direct you to a website where you can read some of my work. I'm doing these profiles of prominent West End folks, and and they're starting to get published. I've been doing these for a couple of months now, and they're starting to get published. I have had some Rusty Satellite guests who I've written about, like Kara Nichols, who runs the 1619 Flux Gallery down there. Daryl Griffith is profiled there, and you really might want to check out, if you haven't been, to 18th and Ali, where Pamela Haynes is the owner and host at Sweet Peaches Restaurant. It's really, really a cool place. So, got a lot of new stuff. That website is www.passportwellbeing, no punctuation, passportwellbeing.com. Urge you to check that out. And some of the other things that Passport is doing in our community. It's all great. So, anyway, I got a lot to get to today. I am very happy you have joined me for this show. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes or so, and I'll try to entertain you. But first up, we're going to get to this very cool and important interview with Dale Romans. As I went over to the track and found Barn 4 and sat down in his office with him, he was interrupted. He had a big phone call, and I tell you, I wish I would have recorded that. He was wheeling, dealing, talking about what horses are going to be entered in upcoming races and longer-term plans in this phone conversation. And his life partner, Tammy, walked in, and she is, as advertised, very small. She can't be 5 feet tall, but a delightful person, a lot of fun to be around, and I really enjoyed my time over there. So here's what came of it. Here's my interview with Dale Romans.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up. Until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Hey, I'm in barn four at Churchill Downs with the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans. Dale, welcome to the show.
No, thanks for having me.
Now, this is a big honor. This is a milestone you've been shooting for a while.
Well, ever since it became potentially a reality, we've been watching it and see if I could catch Bill for the all-time leading trainer here. But it was pretty amazing to get there.
I mean, 140-something years of racing here, and you're at the top of that list. That's a real-life achievement.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe how fast the time went by. I mean, I was reading, just by chance, nobody's ever mentioned it, but it was my first race was November 12th, 1987, that I won at Churchill Downs.
Wow.
And we passed Bill Mott on November 12th, 2017, wow. 30 years to the day later.
The same day. Well, it's really amazing. And over the years, I mean, you're an institution here at Churchill Downs. Your father was a trainer here. Tell me a little bit about how about your career and how it got started.
Well, it's the only thing I've ever thought I was going to do. I'm fortunate. I see these kids today that especially just get out of college and don't know where they're going or what they're going to do. But I don't know. From time I could remember, I knew what I was going to work on the racetrack in some aspect and most likely train horses. This barn we're sitting in, barn four, was my father's barn. And I tell everybody, I can't remember the first time I came in here. So this was my playground. Like I said the other day where we won, this is where I played every day. This is our backyard.
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously that's the ideal upbringing to become a professional trainer. But what do you think are the things that the traits that a good trainer needs to have in this business?
I just have a second nature of being able to understand what the horses want, what they're telling you, and communicate with you. But that's everybody who works on the racetrack. They have that innate ability to communicate with their animals. They're talking to you all the time. You just have to listen.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're training or if you're a rider on the back. And Pat Day used to tell me he communicated through the reins with them. He didn't know how. They were having a conversation, but you just had to listen to them talk, and you had to give them the same feedback. And I'm sure Tammy would say the same thing in the mornings on the horses. Or these hot walkers when they're walking them. They're communicating with them all the time.
So not everybody has that sort of sense.
I guess not. I don't know. It's one thing about being growing up in a barn. And that's why you see so many people back here have grown up. If you go through Steve Asmussen, Todd Pletcher, the Dutch Rose, they're all sons of trainers or daughters of trainers that are out here that just grew up, and it's second nature to be around an animal.
Right. Well, I want to bring up, you mentioned Tammy, who's sitting here with us, and family is a big part of your operation.
And I think it also is for everybody's back here. There's your immediate family, and then there's a bigger family of the racetrack where everybody looks after everybody's kids running around back here.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that stayed consistent through mine and Tammy's childhood all the way through our children's childhood. It's a great place to grow up. It's a great family environment. Whether you own a horse, train a horse, work around horses, it's good for the whole family. Most of the owners that we have do it originally get in the game because their kids want to come around and see the horses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's certainly a thrill. These are powerful, impressive animals, and it's fun to be around.
Yeah, it is fun to be around, and it's a way of life. It's not a job. I mean, all our vacations, all our trips, everything we've done together, we've been around the world together because of the horses. It's all set around a big race event. So wherever we go to California, we'll go do some tourist things. When we're in Dallas, we go to the Book Repository. When we're in Dubai, we go see all the sites there are to see in Dubai. So we've been able to do a lot of family vacations, family trips, but it's all based around horse racing.
All for racing. Well, very good. Well, let's talk about some of the highlights. I know you must hear this one all the time, but you know, what is the most memorable horse? The horse that really had an effect on you that you look back on your career and said, that was the horse.
Well, there's different stages, and the bar always gets raised. The first race I ever won, Maiden 3500. At Turfway Park, I couldn't have been any more excited winning the Dubai World Cup than I was the day I won that Maiden 35 at Turfway. But as you go along, the bar raises, and you have to do bigger and bigger and better things. But the biggest turning point in my career was a trip to Ocala I took when I was first started working with Ken Ramsey, and he sent me to Ocala to go over all the babies. He had bought like 60 Okay. He was going to divide them up between three trainers. And when I went to the third barn, he said, bring home a list and just tell me what you like, and you won't get them all. I'm going to divide them up between three, but I'm going to try to get everybody what they like. And at the third barn, the last day I was there, there was a big black colt training that I really, really liked. And he was a three-year-old that had been injured before with another trainer. And I got in the car and I called Ken. I said, I'll give you my list tomorrow. But that big bay three-year-old, you need to get him off the little racetrack. I'd really like to have him. Mm-hmm. And he said, I wanted to tell him before I left there. I wondered what was fresh in my mind. He said, no problem. He said, but will you swing by the colt barn when we're selling some of the babies? And I didn't know about that barn.
Okay.
I just happened to be right in front of it talking to Ken. Or if I'd been down the road 10 minutes, I wouldn't have turned around. And I pull in there, and they pull out these four that are just not much horse. You need to sell them. And then this one beautiful colt comes out. And so I get back in the car, and I call Ken back. I said, why are you selling the chestnut colt? He said, he had a crooked knee, which his knee was a little bit crooked. And so I told him, well, that's your best two-year-old, in my opinion. I would like to have him, too. And so he put a reserve on him in the sale. Bought him back. Had a $100,000 reserve. Bought him back for $95,000. That was Kitten's Joy.
Wow.
The bay colt was Roses in May. That trip to Ocala is what changed my life, my career.
Yeah.
When those two walked in. And then one of them makes $5.2 million and wins Dubai World Cup. And the other one's champion Turf Horse.
Yeah. And I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, the figure I saw was it your winnings are now $100 million.
Yeah, they're over $100 million in purses. We've had a lot of horses along the way, a lot of big horses, big races. But those two moved my career to a different level.
Sure.
So you never know in anything you're doing what twists and turns and little things, little phone calls will propel you to a higher level.
A little bit of luck doesn't hurt.
Well, it takes some luck, but luck's also being in the right places at the right time and putting yourself in the right places.
Exactly. I was going to ask you about, certainly I want to talk about your current crop. The inevitable question I'm sure you hear all the time is about the Derby. Is 2018, is that going to be the year? You got candidate?
Well, we're in 2017 with the best crop of two-year-olds going forward I've ever had from top to bottom. I mean, I may have had a better one horse here, one horse there, but we've got six or seven deep of horses that I'll consider after the first year will be on the Derby trail.
Okay.
Now, a lot of things can happen along the way, but we've got, of course, Free Drop Billy that just ran the Breeders' Cup, Hollywood Star ran the Breeders' Cup, Dak Attack that is 2-for-2 that was injured, and you know, All Ball Family Racing has stepped up, Dennis All Ball, and bought some nice stock, and we're finally dealing with some top shelf horse, young horses, and it's starting to show and pay off.
Okay.
But you could go even at Tiz Mischief, Storm Runner, Cove Blue. There's a lot of nice rugged colts that want to run two turns, and as long as we have those going into a three-year-old year, we'll try to sort something out.
Okay. We'll look forward to hopefully one of those rising to the top in the spring, because I know a lot of people in Louisville would like to see you in the winner's circle for the Kentucky Derby.
One of the best things about training horses here and living in Louisville is how everybody supports the racing and the racing people in this town. And it's a lot of fun to go around town and people asking the same questions you're asking and showing their support for us to win a Derby. It'd be a lot of fun around here for a few weeks if we won one.
Now, I understand the other day on Sunday when you had the record-breaking win, quite a celebration.
It was nice in the winter. So Churchill went all out, and it was amazing. And it also, the number of texts and calls I've got equals probably one of my Breeders' Cup wins or Preakness win, which is another great thing in the game is to see how many people are seeing what's going on and appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, it's really great. So let's ask you just a question about Churchill Downs. Certainly, there's a lot of expansion going on here. There's a lot of discussion about the state of the game with racing and with Churchill in particular. Where do you see it going in the future?
Well, Kentucky racing as a whole, I think, is very strong right now. I'm not a downer on it like a lot of people. I think that, I guess through my kids, I see the younger generation, how they're getting involved through social media. This is a game that's tailor-made for the internet, and it's great for social media, and it's a smart game. It's an intellectual game. And I see a lot of, like, my kids' friends in the early 20s really getting involved and getting interested. Okay. And I think it's a positive thing. there's a lot of things changing, just like everything in life's changing. The box stores and online, and we just have to keep up with the changes. And a lot of times people think all change is negative, but there's a lot of positive going on. As far as Churchill Downs goes, this is a good group we got over here right now. They had their growing pains when they came in and started learning. They had a task of raising, getting the stock price up, and there were some rough days, but they've gotten the stock price up. We've got a lot more money to operate with, and things just really now seem to just be on an uptick and poised to explode in Kentucky with the instant racing facility going on over a Poplar level that they're putting $50 million into to contribute to purses. And what Kentucky Downs is doing down on the border of Nashville with their instant racing and their carnival racing they have that's as equal to purse-wise to any place in the world. And then with them being able to share some money with Ellis Park for purses, we've now got a solid circuit in Kentucky from April 1st to December 1st. When the last part of the puzzle for all the state is to have a year-round circuit. We need to continue to try to grow purses for Turfway Park. Okay. And it seems like the new commission and new governor, they've shifted their focus to helping racing grow and helping Turfway, and we'll have a full year-round circuit here that's as strong as any.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to hear some optimism.
I get so tired of hearing all the down and down and down because it's not that bad. It's a popular sport. People are watching it on TV. People are bombarding the internet with it. And as things start to shift, it may look like a negative that there aren't as many press as there used to be. Mm-hmm. There's not the press box. The newspapers aren't carrying it in as many papers as there was. But there's no reason to, because now there's instant gratification. Everybody grabs their phone. You watch the race live. You see what happened. You don't need as many to cover as much. But then there's the boom of shows like yours. There's podcasts going on now. There's radio shows you used to not have. The interest is there. It's just shifted into the media in which it's being exposed to the people.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, got to wrap it up here, but I do want to congratulate you. Great to have a South End guy at the top of that trainer's list.
Thank you, and it's good to be interviewed by a good South Ender.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. Comes out on Louisville.am.
And there you go. I had a great conversation there with Dale Romans. We got to talking about the South End and all, and it was really great. I don't know if I've shared with you, listener, my connection to the track. It goes back a long way. My father, who was a mailman, also was a paramutual clerk over there at Churchill Downs, and I'm sure that the first time I ever set foot on the grounds, I was like 5 years old holding his hand as he went to sign up for his slot at the track. That was back when if you were a paramutual clerk, you worked a specific window, and I think my dad had the like $2 to win window, and he sold tickets there, and that's why they had so many windows over there. That they, you know, technology's improved things in that regard over there. But my mother also worked there as the for the former caterer, Harry M. Stevens. She was she managed the waitresses on the Millionaire's Row. Got me, believe it or not, a job during the 1979 and 1980 Derby as a busboy. So that was quite an experience for the young me. The first Derby I ever attended in person, I went to the infield with my girlfriend in high school, and we walked home. And that was 1978. Then I did the busboy thing, and then I did 1981 through 1988. I was in the madness of the infield. That was a lot of fun, and things aren't the same, but it was a lot of fun. But really appreciate Dale. I'd heard about him for a long time and never actually talked to him and met him in person, and that was really great. You know, another family tradition I used to have, my mom, because she worked there, used to host a party for family and some friends at Churchill Downs on Thanksgiving Day, and that's coming up next week. It's a great day to go to the track. It's a lot of fun. A lot of people have discovered this this wonderful tradition. They are open and running over there for the next through Thanksgiving weekend. So it's a good time to get out and enjoy some horse racing at the track. There you go. So if you don't listen to the show all the time, I'll tell you this is the part of the show where I talk about some things that are going on in town that affect me and or you. I mentioned last week that Louie Louie's in J-Town, one of my favorite pizza restaurants, was closing. And lo and behold, we found out that already, in fact, tonight, if you're listening to this on Thursday, Beer Nose has taken over that spot. It's in the old Ferd Grassani's location, and a lot of people are familiar with Ferd Grassani's. For 5 years, it's been Louie Louie's, and the Beer Nose folks are moving in there. It's a big step up. They have a previously a really little, small spot there on Taylorsville Road. So a lot of things are changing out in J-Town. If you're familiar with that Moby Dick, it has closed down and is for lease. It'd be interesting to see what goes in there, because it's right in front of the rec bar, which would probably prefer that they tear that thing down and use it for parking, between that and Max Doe House, which is out the back door. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Moby Dick. There is construction going on across the street at Taylorsville Road and Watterson Trail. However, I hear that Feast is no longer the restaurant that's going in, but that group that owns Feast is apparently going to bring something yet unnamed out to that very prominent corner in J-Town. And of course, the other big news in the restaurant world is that Corbett's out in it's in front of Costco out there near Norton Commons, closed this week after a 10-year run. Dean Corbett, most respected chef in town, probably just decided that wasn't something he's going to continue. He still has Jack's and Equus and Ward 426 down. So he's still certainly a busy man and got a lot going on. But closing Corbett's, nice 10-year run for that place. Speaking of restaurants or restaurateurs, John Schnatter's in the news. You know, he came out at an earnings call a few weeks ago and got himself in some trouble talking about the whole NFL players kneeling down at the national anthem, all of that. Papa John's came out with an apology this week and said that they weren't, basically blaming the players and criticizing the players for protesting the players are protesting local police and their treatment toward African Americans, and there's been a lot of controversy over that, and Papa John figured out it was bad for business to jump on that bandwagon, so they put out a big apology on social media and all that. So it was the right thing to do. It was the wrong thing to do in the first place to make the kind of comments that Schnatter made. But at least they came back and apologized. All right. I did some really cool stuff this week. Among them, the Breakfast of Champions was Tuesday morning. We had a woman, Jessica Stavros, who is a historian. And I learned a lot about the Hill Sisters, who created the Happy Birthday song. And we had a great crowd over at the University Club for that. Maggie Payette Harlow, who was on the show last week, was part of the program, and I learned some stuff about history of Louisville and early childhood education. And the Hill Sisters were actually responsible for the start of kindergarten, believe it or not. That's what you missed if you didn't come out to the Breakfast Champions. But boy, it was a big week. A lot of the folks there announced the people in attendance had been out Monday night, because Monday night was a big night in the city. First of all, at the Louisville Slugger Field, the Louisville City FC, our very own USL soccer team, won the league championship of the USL by a not surprising score, I must say, of 1-0. The goal was scored in the last few minutes of the game. I'm so happy that soccer is becoming a hit and all that. I still don't quite get it. I've been to several games and watching the sport, it's they never score. basically is what happens. But anyway, that was a great thing. Also, the Lady Gaga played at the Yum Center on Monday night. The same night, same time. It was a good night to be like a Lyft driver. I tell you, there was a lot going on and a lot of people downtown getting around. So it was a lot of fun. As long as we're talking about the soccer team, that's one of the things I talked with Jack Mathis about. Now, Jack is a partner with Andy Bleeden, who you remember was a great guest on this show, and he has grown the Work the Metal retail outlet down there from a 400 square foot near closet to a 12,000 square foot extravaganza of retail. Everything from shower curtains to chocolate to basically anything you know, any sort of thing you can think of. They're having this big event. It is on Friday night, and as he says in the in the interview, it's Champs and Shopping at Work the Metal. And Champs being champagne. There's my friends at Ballantine Whiskey are going to be down there. A lot of stuff and some great food. I can only imagine, because Bobby Benjamin from Butchertown Grocery is going to be there. The Bourbon Barrel Foods with Matt Jamie is going to be there. Butchertown Pizza Hall, which recently announced it's opened a second floor bar at its place down there. And the lovely Erica from Cellar Door Chocolates is going to be there. All that's going to be there. It should be a great event. So if you get a chance to go down there Friday night from 6 to 8 at Work the Metal. So I talk about that quite a bit with Jack in the upcoming interview and some other things going on in Butchertown. It's very exciting. It's three blocks from Work the Metal is where the proposed stadium is. I talked to Andy Bleeden while I was down there, and he said that the stadium is a done deal. The financing is in place. It's been approved by the Metro Council, and we're going to have a very cool soccer stadium right in the heart of Butchertown. In I think it's 3 years. I think they're going to open in 2020. So that's a very exciting thing. You should know about that. And you can expect, just like some other areas where new things come in, just think about the in southern Indiana where the walking bridge comes down. Now it's a flourishing neighborhood of great restaurants and stuff. I think you're going to see some of the same stuff happen in Butchertown near the new soccer stadium. It's going to be a catalyst, I think, for other businesses. But boy, you know, Louisville, I talked to a lot of people that are in Louisville from out of town, and I can't believe the growth and the things that are going on. The Omni Hotel, if I pass by it every day, and there's something new going on there every day. So they're set to open. They're taking reservations there for the spring. And so that's going to happen. If you've driven by the convention center downtown, it is taking some real shape, and a bunch of other projects. So anyway, all that being said, I think it's a special spot in Butchertown where Work the Metal is. I love going through there and shopping, and it's just a great part of town. I've had several guests who have businesses down there on this show, and I think you're going to really enjoy meeting Jack Mathis. I had a great chance to sit down with him, and here's the interview.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
I am with Jack Mathis today, and man, it smells good in here.
It does. It's one of our candles. Our mistletoe candle makes it smell great.
If I wasn't ready for Christmas, all you have to do is walk in, Work the Metal, and it hits you like a ton of bricks.
It does. We love Christmas. It's a fun time. It makes you happy seeing all the lights.
And even though it's not Thanksgiving yet, one of the things we're talking about, Jack, and you are the owner of Work the Metal down here in Butchertown Market, and got a big event coming up.
this weekend.
Yeah, this Friday night, it's our Champs and Shopping event. Champs means champagne and shopping. And you want to, it's this Friday night, November 17th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So right after work, if you're working downtown or working nearby, like, grab your friends and come on down a little shopping. We have a lot of local food vendors here. Bobby Benjamin from Butchertown Grocery will be here with a couple specialties as he's prepared for the event. Butchertown Pizza Hall is going to have a cool dessert. They're cinnamon knots. They're delicious. Bourbon Barrel Foods, who manufactures his products right here in this building, he's going to be here with one of his food items as well. Ballantine Whiskey is going to be here. They've combined with Louisville Cream to create this cool drink just for us here that night. So wow, it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of food.
Also, cruise through the chocolate section. I know Erica's got a whole
Celebrate
setup
chocolates.
As well.
She's going to have samplings of her chocolates, plus you can buy a box of her chocolates. So it's a really fun night. It's our second time to do this. Our first one was last year, and it was a great turnout. We're really excited about it.
All right. Well, I'm not going to make any jokes about how it's too early for all this Christmas stuff because it's not Thanksgiving yet. But anyway, Jack, you have been the owner of this place for, I think I read, since 2003.
14 years. 2003.
And, you know, where to start? Because it wasn't as big and fancy and cool then as it is now.
No, it has evolved through the years. And, you know, thankfully people are embracing this area now, the Butchertown area, the architecture of the buildings, and just it really is the gateway to downtown Louisville, and people are realizing that and visiting it more. We get a lot of visitors now than we ever have before when they're in town.
Yeah, yeah. Well, give me a little idea of your background, because, you know, I know that walking through the store, there's a lot of quirky stuff, really cool, like everything from, I guess, containers of stuff to decorative items and all that. You must... It must be a challenge to come up with all this stuff, I guess.
Well, it's worth the metal. We always want to be a fun environment for everyone. So we're always looking for unique gifts that you can buy for someone. We also have home goods like switchblade covers. We have drapery. We have kids' gifts. We have clothing for women.
I saw a boatload of shower curtains.
A lot of, yeah, some shower curtains as well. But we want to make it like an experience for you. You can come in and shop and like just see different things, and hopefully you leave with something you didn't expect to find. But it's just a fun place to work and a fun place to shop, and we want people to leave happy and with a blue bag in their hand.
There you go. Give me an idea of some of the individual products that they do best here.
Well, you know, our jewelry, we have fashion jewelry. It's like we're one of the largest selection of fashion jewelry in a local store in Louisville. Our clothing is a main category for us. We have expanded that line tremendously of our fast fashion, and people love our clothing. We have switchblade covers have been here since day one.
Now, I was going to ask that because one of the pieces I read about you, you know, like the first product was switchblade, which are the covers for your
house, and they're decorative. You know, most of them are those boring white ones and that you see everywhere. And this spices up your room a little bit. And they're recycled brass made in Vietnam, but they come in, and there's a fleur-de-lis shaped one that's really popular since it's the logo for the city. And they're just all different designs. They come in recycled brass. They come in an off-white or a silver. And they just kind of like enhance your room, make it a little more special.
Okay. So we're in the boom time, I guess, here at Butchertown. But tell me a little bit. Was there ever a point in the 14 years where you thought, well, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. This might not work out.
Well, there were times. I know, like, we had a skylight in the building collapse in the rain once, and it flooded our entire space. And that was a bad day. But for the most part... But we opened the next day. We were only closed one day. But for the most part, like, we've seen the development from, we've believed in Butchertown, and we've seen it from the very beginning. We knew this was a great place to be, and to grow and watch it grow. And we really feel like Work the Metal has been a part of that growth too, because we have so many shoppers that live in other parts of the city or in other parts of the state that have never been here until they've come to shop at Work the Metal. So we feel like we're kind of ambassadors for Butchertown.
Okay. And yeah, because you were here before all these other folks.
Before all the restaurants, before the distillery, before everyone. So we're like the OG of the neighborhood, retail-wise.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool. And I know just recently we got the announcement. I saw a minute ago Andy Bleeden, I guess call him your partner or your
my business partner,
your
yeah.
business partner, right here in the store. We were talking about the soccer stadium is going to be a reality, I guess.
Yes, we're really excited about that. It's literally a couple blocks away from us. So with that will come increased visitors to the area, which hopefully when they're coming down to go to the soccer game, they'll spend a few minutes before and Work the Metal in the shops in the Butchertown market.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess like most retailers, I'm jumping around here, but like most retailers, I always come in here, I guess, usually in December, mm-hmm. and find some little quirky thing to give somebody that I know. But is it your best time of year?
Fourth quarter is always our best time of year, but we have a great, loyal base of customers that shop here on a regular basis too, for birthdays, anniversaries, but we have baby gifts, wedding gifts, so we're busy all year long. Derby time is a really busy time for us as well. Okay. So we're a sponsor of the Kentucky Derby Princesses, so right. They come in here and they shop. We also have a runway show here at Work the Metal for Derby fashion, for dresses and hats. So we have a lot of events going on throughout the year.
Okay. One of the things I noticed is like you got a lot of things with these funny sayings on them. Mm-hmm. So do you come up with those?
Some of them I come up with, especially on the mugs. We have a lot of mugs, and so I'll think of a funny saying, or we'll see it, or hear somebody will hear about it and say, this would be funny on a mug, so we put it on a mug.
Now, what's your favorite one that you've made up?
You can
give me more than one.
The one was most recent one that's done well is "Make Coffee Great Again." So that's been a great mug, like just a play on a lot of different things.
Yeah. So current.
We take current events and make them fun.
Yeah. So do you make product here?
We don't.
Work the Metal.
Yes.
So I'm
we
just
don't.
Wondering.
We're not. We don't really actually make the product. We have a lot of local vendors. We have local jewelry, local artwork. We've got some coasters from a local photographer who also makes Christmas ornaments for us. One of our installations we have in the store for holiday is an origami installation. It's throughout the store, and that was done by a 13-year-old boy that lives in Indiana, and he's done origami for 7 years. And wow. I heard about him. I was like, let's do an origami installation of holiday. And so he created this of all different types of origami that we have throughout the store. And he was here on Saturday displaying, doing
wow.
his origami.
Well, that's very cool. I think Andy was telling me about that, and the, some of the money went to a charity, right?
Yes, Susan G. Komen Foundation. We're raffling off the crane installation that he did for the Susan G.
Wow.
Komen Foundation.
Wow. Well, it's very good. It's like, if you haven't been there, I tell people, just go down there and walk around. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and that's what we want it to be. We really want you to have a good time. We're there for you for customer service if you need help, but we really want you to experience shopping in a fun environment other than the mall.
There you go. And how much bigger is, you've taken, I don't know if you're at the maximum space, but it seems like I remember it when it was smaller.
Yeah, we used to be 400 square feet, and now we're about 12,000 square feet.
Wow.
And that doesn't include storage. That's retail space. Yeah.
Well, the good thing about Butchertown, though, I guess there's a lot of space down here.
Yes, there is. Here the Butchertown Market building is a 75,000 square foot building, so we've got some storage space as well. But You know, it also houses Cellar Door chocolates, like you talked about, Moss Hill Bath and Body products. The Macaroon Bar that's on Market Street and now has a satellite location.
I saw that. I didn't know that until I walked by.
Yeah,
so it's always something I learned.
Yeah. And, of course, Bourbon Barrel Foods is in here that makes all the products.
Okay, well, as we wrap it up, let's talk a little bit more about this Friday. That's a big event. There's going to be a lot of people here. Ballantine Whiskey, I know, is going to have this special cocktail. It's
yes.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
And if you've had this before, you expect, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people here.
I hope so. That's the hope. You know, it really is a great thing to do right after work and bring your friends out. It's definitely a party atmosphere. People love it. And you come and get a little apps, you know, and just do a little shopping.
All right, well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to go in there and find me a new switchblade, I think.
All right.
All right, and here we are at the end of another exciting episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks to Dale Romans for letting me come over and hang out at his barn for a little bit, and to Jack Mathis for giving me an excuse to look around and see what's new at Work the Metal. I tell you, there's a lot of things going on this weekend. If you're listening to this on Thursday, the day it comes out, there is a great event that I went to last year. I'm not sure I'm going to make it this year, from Yelp, called Art in Action. It's down at the Louisville Palace, and you can get in for free if you just go on Yelp and tell them you're coming or something. Anyway, I might go, but first I've got to, Thursday night I'm going to Actors Theater, where Skeleton Crew is the play. It's highly anticipated, and the early reviews are great. So I'm looking forward to going down to Actors and seeing that. We do have another football game, and I'm worried that the weather is going to make me not want to go. But, you know, I kind of think about this whole season ticket thing with U of L, because some of the games are just, well, I don't know. I'll probably buy my season tickets because I will, and I like going to football games and hanging out with my buddies in the parking lot and all that. But in terms of the product, questionable at best. But the U of L plays Syracuse on Saturday afternoon at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, and then they close their season next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, in Lexington against Kentucky. And certainly I will be interested in checking out that game. I'm not sure that I'm going to go up there, but you never know. You never know. I've figured out how to get tickets for things. So, I don't know. Road trip to Lexington, that might be a good idea. So, anyway, that's going to do it for the Rusty Satellite Show. Thank you for tuning in. I am always looking for interesting people to be guests on this show. I always seem to come up with great guests like Dale Romans and Jack Mathis, but I could use some help. So, you know, feel free to get in touch with me. Rusty Satellite Show has a Facebook page, and so do I. It's Rick Redding, and I'll be happy to become your friend on Facebook and have a conversation with you if you've got an idea for a guest. And that's how we do it around here. That's how we produce this show, the Rusty Satellite Show, the most interesting people in the Ville. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week with Show 229.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.